Hi, welcome back to Joe Blogs. This video is the next in a series looking at the financial implications of Russia's invasion of Ukraine on the global economy. And in today's episode, I want to talk about refined products. Now, refined oil products are basically the products that you and I use in our vehicles. So this might be gasoline or diesel, or we might be using kerosene, or a variety of other derivatives that come out of a barrel of crude oil. And the issue that Russia is facing right now is that there is another EU ban and another price cap coming on the 5th of February. And this is going to have a really big impact on Russia's revenues. And whilst Russia is still trying to cope with the oil price cap and the EU ban on crude oil, this is going to have a bigger impact because refined products are added value and are therefore priced at a higher level. And they tend to be transported over shorter distances. So in today's video, I'll give you the latest update on the proposed cap for refined products. We'll talk about exactly how much Russia is earning from refined products and how it's actually moving all of that oil at the moment, because the shipping is going to be a really important part in terms of implementing the price cap and being able to enforce it. We'll then have a look at this deal that Russia has announced with Pakistan, and we'll go through the logistics of this because it's quite incredible what Russia is proposing to do. It's intending to move all of this oil over land. However, there isn't a direct rail link between Russia and Pakistan. So we'll go through exactly how it's going to deliver all of this oil and what the logistics of that will look like and what the implications of that will have for the costs. And also we'll go through some of the other issues relating to trading with Pakistan, because if you've been following the channel, you'll know that Pakistan is sitting on the brink of bankruptcy right now. So we'll go through the implications of that for Russia. And then finally today, I'll wrap up with my summary. So what I think the implications of the introduction of this refined products ban and price cap will be for Russia, and what the implications of that will also be for the global economy. So before we get started on all of that, if I could ask you for a thumbs up at some point during this video, if you're enjoying the content, please subscribe if you haven't done so already. Don't forget, I always include chapters, so if you don't have time to watch everything, you can pick and choose what you'd like to see. And if you'd like to support the channel, please have a look below, where you'll find links to YouTube, Super Thanks and membership, as well as Buy Me a Coffee and Patreon. And as always, thank you so much to everyone that has supported the channel. Genuinely appreciate it. Now, as you're probably aware, when oil is extracted from the ground, it can't actually be used. It's in what's called a crude form. And before you can put it into any form of machinery or vehicle, it has to go through a refinery process to take out some of the impurities and to transform it into a substance that we would regard as fuel. The majority of oil that's sold by oil-producing countries is in a crude format because it's much easier to load the crude onto huge tankers and then ship it over the sea to somebody else, and they can then unload it and feed it into their own refineries, and they can then transform it into all of the different products that they need for their markets. However, some crude oil is refined at source, and these refined products are then shipped to various markets. Now, as I mentioned at the start of the video, the European ban on the purchase of seaborne Russian oil at the moment only applies to crude oil. The refined product ban doesn't actually come into effect until the 5th of February. So as it sits right now, all of the countries of Europe are still able to buy gasoline and diesel and kerosene and all of these finished products directly from Russia. Some of them don't want to. So some have introduced independent bans. They've stated that they don't want to buy any of these products. But for the countries who still want to purchase it, they're able to do so. And the reason that they're buying it is because it's the cheapest in the market. And alongside the European ban, the EU and the G7 are currently discussing another price cap that will be applied to refined products. And it's been announced that the European Commission is proposing that the EU set a price of $100 per barrel on premium Russian oil products like diesel, and a $45 per barrel cap on discounted products like fuel oil. This proposal has been sent to all of the governments of the European Union, whose representatives are then set to sit down and agree a final deal that will be put into place by the 5th of February. So as it stands at the moment, it looks like the price cap is going to be set at around about $100, which represents a discount against current market prices of around 30%. So this is directly in line with the crude oil price cap that was introduced on the 5th of December. And in terms of how this oil price cap will actually be enforced, it's exactly the same as the crude oil price cap. It will be monitored and implemented through the shipping and insurance services, because Russia is having to use tankers that are owned by the West and also insurance companies to cover all of the insurance risks. So let's have a look at the latest statistics, which give us the details on how much revenue Russia is earning from refined products. This chart shows the amount of revenue that Russia is earning on a daily basis from the sale of refined products, and the scale on the left-hand side is measured in millions of euros. Now, the colour coding here represents the different markets that Russia is selling into. The very small red section at the bottom is China. The larger section in light blue is the European Union. The very thin green line is Egypt. The brown stroke yellow section is India. The purple section is the United States, and the grey and the dark red sections are other countries. And what this chart shows is that currently Russia is earning around 130 million euros per day from the sale of refined products. And that's broadly in line with where they were this time last year. If you look at the position 12 months ago, it was around about 130 million euros. Now, during that time, Russia has seen an increase. So following the invasion, because the price of oil rose dramatically in the markets, that led to an increase in the revenue that Russia was earning. And at one point, it was close to 200 million euros per day. But over the course of the last 7 or 8 months, we've seen a steady reduction in the revenue that Russia has been earning, partly as a result of reducing volumes and partly as a result of the falling prices that we've seen over the last 6 or 7 months as a result of the global slowdown and the reduction in the demand for oil. So Russia's revenue is currently at the lowest point that it's been at any time in the last 12 months. But the really important thing about this graph is the volume of sales that are still being made to the EU, which is shown by the large blue section. Now you can see that over the course of the last 12 months, the amount of revenue being earned from the EU has fallen. In March and April, Russia was actually earning around 130 million euros per day from the EU. However, it's still sitting at around $80 million per day. And the reason that the EU is still buying that volume of product from Russia is because it's the cheapest in the market. That's why historically the European Union was buying oil from Russia. And although some countries in Europe have come out and stated that they no longer want any form of relationship with Russia, so they've made a conscious decision not to buy the cheapest refined products in the market. The majority of European countries are doing this for economic reasons. They're buying Russian gasoline and diesel and other products because they're cheaper than the alternative options. And as it stands at the moment, there isn't a ban, so they're perfectly entitled to do this. However, as I mentioned at the start of the video, on the 5th of February, the outright ban from the European Union comes into place. So as of that date, we will see the blue section of this graph disappearing entirely. And this is exactly what we've seen for crude oil. Since the ban came into place on the 5th of December, all purchases have stopped, and that's led to a massive fall in the volume and a huge fall in the revenues for Russia. And that's exactly what we're going to see for refined products. But the impact here is going to be much worse for Russia, because if we look at the volume of sales to China and India on this chart, which are shown by the very small red section at the bottom and the very small brown yellow section across the middle, they are virtually non-existent in the context of this graph. And there are multiple reasons for that. Firstly, when you're dealing with refined products, they are more expensive because they have to go through the refinery process, and therefore a purchaser has to pay for those additional costs. For countries such as India and China, who have their own refineries, they don't need to buy those finished products, they can make them themselves. So rather than paying for more expensive product, they would rather take larger volumes of crude and put it through their own refineries. In addition to that, when you're transporting refined products, they are moved on smaller vessels. Because a barrel of oil may be broken down into 6 or 7 different types of refined product, you then need to split out that barrel into the different ships and ship it independently. So you don't get the same volumes. And also, when people are purchasing refined products, they tend to buy them in smaller amounts because they would rather produce their own finished products because it's cheaper. And therefore, if they're having to supplement gaps in the market, they will do so on a short-term basis and take smaller volumes. And a final factor relates to the discounts, because refined products are more expensive. And therefore, from Russia's perspective, they won't be able to offer such big discounts because they've got more cost. If you've been following the channel, you'll know that when we've talked about crude oil, one of the challenges facing Russia is to find enough markets to keep the current levels of production flowing, because it doesn't want to cut back on its production because that could cause it major problems in the future. So it can actually make more sense to sell large volumes of crude at a discount if it enables that production to keep moving. But when you're talking about refined products, you don't have that same volume pressure because the oil is already out. You don't have to refine it. And actually refining it will just add more cost and make it more expensive in the markets. So from Russia's point of view, it's easier to sell large volumes of crude at a discount to keep the production going rather than selling large volumes of refined at a discount because Russia can choose not to refine that oil if it doesn't want to. So as a result of all of these issues, China and India have decided not to take large volumes of refined products from Russia. They're preferring to buy crude oil instead. And so this represents a major problem for Russia because it needs to find somewhere to actually sell all of these products into. But transporting refined products over very long distances makes it less cost effective and means that the discounts that Russia will have to offer will be much larger. And therefore the fall in revenues is likely to be much larger also. Now, in terms of the G7 and EU's ability to enforce an oil price cap on refined products, this is going to relate directly to how much of that product is actually transported using Western ships and using Western insurance companies. This chart shows the volume of refined oil products that Russia is exporting using ships and insurance companies from different countries. The blue section at the bottom relates to ships that are either owned directly or insured directly by the G7 and the European Union. The blue section above it represents ships and insurance companies from Norway, which isn't included in either the G7 or the EU, but is part of the West and is part of the sanctions against Russia. And the other two sections at the top are from all the rest of the world. So what this chart shows is that over 80% of all of the refined oil products that Russia is exporting right now are being exported using ships that are either owned or insured by the G7, the EU, or Norway. And that represents a major problem for Russia because the way that the price cap will be implemented is that all of these companies will need to see official documentation that show that the deal has been set at a price at or below the new price cap. And as I mentioned earlier in the video, it's currently being talked about as being $100. So that means that Russia will need to do all of those deals at $100 or less. If those deals are struck above $100, that means that those vessels would refuse to take all of that product, so Russia wouldn't be able to load it up and actually make the delivery, or the insurance company would invalidate all the insurance, and that means that it wouldn't be able to set sail, and it wouldn't be able to dock at the other end. Even if it did set sail, it wouldn't be able to actually unload all of the cargo because it wouldn't have the requisite insurance, and therefore the port wouldn't allow it to come in to release all of the oil. So what this shows is that Russia simply doesn't have its own fleet. It doesn't have enough vessels of its own to be able to ignore the oil price cap. And this is exactly the same situation that we've got for crude oil. In fact, it's worse for refined products. The crude oil percentage is around 75% of all of the ships are owned or insured by the G7, EU and Norway. Now, Russia will no doubt come out and state that it refuses to agree to the oil price cap for refined products. However, what we've seen for crude oil products is that even though Russia has said that, all of the deals are still being done below the $60 oil price cap. And the bottom line reason for that is that Russia needs to use all of those vessels. It needs them to actually transport the oil. So it's very likely that we will see exactly the same situation occurring for refined products. So even though Russia will come out and say that it doesn't agree to the $100 price cap, and therefore it will ban everybody that signs up to it, I think the reality will be that Russia will carry on using all of these vessels because there simply aren't enough spare ships in the world to be able to move all of this volume of product. And therefore all of the deals that Russia strikes will be set at or below the new price cap. And that will have a detrimental impact on the revenues for Russia. So Russia urgently needs to find new markets to be able to sell all of its refined products into. And it's just been announced that a deal has been agreed with Pakistan to sell an initial 1,000 tons of gasoline directly to the country. Independent Russian oil refiner Fortinvest has clinched a deal that will see Russian gasoline sent to Pakistan by land for the first time. Fortinvest has agreed a deal to sell an initial 1,000 tons of gasoline from its Orsk plant for delivery to Pakistan and has more requests to supply gasoline, diesel and LPG to the country. The refined products will be shipped from the Orsk refinery in Russia's Orenburg region near the Kazakhstan border to Afghanistan by rail and reloaded into tank trucks for delivery to Pakistan, as Russia and Pakistan don't have direct rail connections. Historically, Pakistan has had no major commercial energy ties with Moscow, It currently depends on oil from Gulf countries, which often extend facilities such as deferred payments and can supply with lower transport costs given Pakistan's proximity. In 2022, Russia shipped 120,000 tonnes of gasoline from Orsk to Afghanistan, as well as 41,000 tonnes of diesel and 104,000 tonnes of liquefied petroleum gas. So in terms of assessing whether or not this is a good deal from Russia's perspective, I wanted to break it down and look at the constituent parts. So firstly, let's look at the actual size of the transaction. This is 1,000 tonnes of gasoline. Now usually when we talk about oil, we refer to it in barrels. That's how the price is set. The ballpark historic price was around about $100 per barrel. It's actually come down to about $80 at the moment, but it's easy to think about these notional barrels. Now in terms of tonnes versus barrels, one tonne of oil equates to 6.8 barrels. So the deal to supply 1,000 tonnes equates to 6,800 barrels. Now, if we look at this graphic, it shows the different sizes of tankers that are used to transport various oil products. And as you can see at the bottom here, the very large crude carriers and the ultra large crude carriers are used only for transporting oil, not refined products. But the other five types of vessels are used for moving refined products. The largest of these is the Long Range 2, which can carry up to 1 million barrels of oil. The next largest is the Aframax, which can carry between 600,000 and 800,000 barrels. We then have the LR1, which can carry between 350,000 and 600,000 barrels. The Medium Range, which can carry between 200,000 and 350,000 barrels. And the General Purpose Tankers, which can carry between 70,000 and 190,000 barrels. So when you put the Pakistan deal of 6,800 barrels into perspective, it is minuscule because the very smallest of these tankers would take a minimum of 70,000 barrels. So that's more than 10 times the size of the Pakistan deal for one of these vessels. And obviously that's the smallest vessel. If you're dealing with the largest of all of the refined product vessels, it would be over 1 million barrels. So in order to replace a deal whereby Russia is sending refined products using a Long Range 2 vessel, they would need to do around 150 of these sort of deals with Pakistan. So that starts to give you a flavour as to the challenge that Russia is facing. But let's have a look at the logistics involved in actually delivering this gasoline to Pakistan. So the plan in terms of delivering this gasoline is that it will firstly be moved by rail to Afghanistan, and then will be transported onto trucks and taken by road to its final destination. So let's have a look on Google Maps just to get a feel for how this gasoline will be moved. And when you put transport between Orsk and Kabul into Google Maps, there isn't a rail option, so I've had to use road. What I'm trying to do here is really just to give you a better understanding as to how this gasoline will be moved. So you can see that the route from the refinery in Russia down to Kabul is 1,772 miles and is estimated to take around 42 hours by car. Now, it may actually be quicker by rail, obviously, because it won't have to stop at traffic lights. It don't have to have people driving at a certain speed limit. So it may get there quicker. But this gives you an understanding as to how far it's going to be transported over the land. And in terms of the logistics, all of the oil will need to be loaded into rail car tankers. And the size of these tankers varies depending on the gauge of the railway. But the very largest versions take around 700 barrels. So that would mean that the 6,800 barrels that Russia has agreed to sell to Pakistan will need to be loaded onto around 10 of these rail cars. But obviously, if the gauge of the railway is lower, it may need to be more. So once all of this oil arrives by rail into Kabul, it will then need to be unloaded and then reloaded onto trucks and transported by road. Now, in terms of the size of those trucks, it will really depend firstly on what's available and secondly, what the quality of the roads are like between Afghanistan and Pakistan. Now, in a best case scenario, if we had an 18-wheel truck, that could take up to 900 barrels in the load. But obviously that would be very heavy. And if we've got roads that are not perfect, that could cause major problems. If we don't use those large trucks, we may need to go down a size or two, and it could be that we have trucks that carry around 250 barrels each. If we've got the large ones, we could do this journey in maybe 8 or 10 trucks. If we've got smaller ones, it might need to be 30 or 40 trucks. And jumping back to Google Maps, to keep things simple, I've assumed that we go from Kabul to the capital of Pakistan, Islamabad, and that journey is 294 miles by road and is estimated to take around 8 hours. So overall, when you look at the logistics of this journey, you can see the problems that Russia is facing. Firstly, it's going to take a long period of time to actually move all of this fuel. Secondly, it's going to be quite expensive because they're putting it onto relatively small cars. When you compare the capacity volume of rail and road transport versus what you can put into a tanker, it's night and day difference. The very smallest tankers are taking around 100,000 barrels of oil, but the medium to large ones can take up to 1 million barrels. And when you compare that to this 7,000 barrel deal that Russia has agreed with Pakistan, and then you look at the logistics in terms of all of the transport and the transport costs, because rail and road transport is far more expensive than putting all of this onto a ship and moving it over the sea. And in addition to the fuel costs, you've got the additional costs of loading up all the rail carriages, then unloading them again and loading it all onto trucks, and then having to drive those trucks into Pakistan. So hopefully you're getting a flavour here as to the additional cost and logistics involved and how this is going to impact on, firstly, the profit margins for Russia, and secondly, the selling price, because they're going to have to take account of all of these costs when they're doing the deal with Pakistan. So what's the summary and conclusion today? Well, I wanted to post this video because the refined oil ban that's coming over the course of the next week or so is going to have a huge impact on Russia's revenues. And replacing the sales that it's currently making to the EU is going to be really problematic from Russia's perspective. Firstly, all of the big countries in the world only really want to buy crude oil if they can avoid buying refined products, because they don't want to pay for more expensive products that they can make themselves using their own refineries. And of course, if you use your own refinery, you're creating jobs, you're creating an industry in your own country. So that's helpful to the infrastructure of your own economy. Rather than paying a higher price directly to Russia, countries like India and China would prefer to take the crude and then manage it themselves. The other factor is that you can then produce exactly what you want. So you know what your home market wants, whether it wants more gasoline or diesel or kerosene or whatever it might be, and then you can set up your facilities to work to exactly your requirements rather than having to buy whatever's in the market. And if the price of that suddenly spikes because there's an increase in demand, you're having to pay more foreign currency over to people, draining your reserves. All of the things we've talked about that can result in economic pressure. And as we saw from the graphic that we looked at earlier, even though the war in Ukraine has been going on for almost 12 months, the EU is still buying around 80 million euros worth of refined products from Russia every single day. And that's because there isn't a ban in place at the moment. And for a lot of those countries, it's much easier and cheaper to buy it from Russia. But all of that is going to stop on the 5th of February. So Russia is going to lose 80 million euros of revenue per day directly as a result of that ban. But in addition to that, it's also got the refined oil price cap that's coming in on the 5th of February as well. And that's going to limit the amount that it's able to sell these refined products to other countries for. And that's going to cause a problem for Russia, because there's more cost involved in refining oil than just taking crude out of the ground and putting it onto tankers. So having a price cap on refined products will cause a problem in itself. But in addition to that, the challenge that Russia is facing is that transporting refined products over longer distances adds more cost, which starts to make the deal uneconomic. And that's really why I wanted to go through the deal that's been struck with Pakistan in some detail, just to give you an understanding as to the logistics involved in that. Using rail and road to transport large volumes of oil is really quite difficult because it's expensive. And there's a lot of logistics involved in terms of loading it up, unloading it, moving it, transporting it from rail to road, all of those sorts of things. And I think the deal that's been struck with Pakistan is a really interesting one, because it shows how desperate Russia is to get some business going. If it's prepared to agree to a transaction whereby there's only 7,000 barrels of oil, in itself, that becomes relatively uneconomic, because there's a lot of hassle, there's a lot of cost, there's a lot of logistics involved in moving all of that oil. And when you compare that to just loading up 100,000 barrels onto a tanker and then letting it set sail, and that's the end of your involvement, then it really doesn't compare. And if Russia is going to have to replace all of its lost sales to the EU with deals like this, it's going to be a logistical nightmare. The number of transactions would be monumental, and the level of profit would be much, much smaller than it is today. It's far easier to sell in bulk, wholesale to people, rather than having to do really small deals and having to transact everything on an individual basis. That is going to become really problematic from Russia's point of view. Oil and gas is a scale business. You want to sell large volumes for as much as you can. If you're having to do lots of really small deals instead, that's going to be a logistical challenge from Russia's perspective. And of course, the other thing that I haven't mentioned so far in this video is that Pakistan is sitting on the verge of bankruptcy. It has no cash. It's run out of cash reserves. It's down to less than $4 billion right now, which means that it's got less than 3 weeks' worth of cash to keep paying for all of its fuel imports. And Pakistan is a net importer. It has to import fuel and food to keep the economy going. It's currently in discussions with the IMF with regards to a bailout, but nobody knows when that's going to come. So I think it's really interesting to note that Russia, for the first time, is opening up economic relations with Pakistan at the point when it's run out of cash. So it's replacing all of its previous customers, such as Germany, Italy, and the Netherlands, which are some of the biggest economies in the world and who are cash rich, with a country that is out of cash and potentially won't even be able to pay for these 7,000 barrels of oil when they do make that monumental journey all the way to Pakistan. So I think the overall summary from Russia's perspective for today's video is that the EU ban and the oil price cap that's coming in on the 5th of February is going to be really bad news. They're going to see another big fall in revenue, and they simply won't be able to replace all of those lost sales with more sales to India and China, because India and China don't want to pay for this more expensive product. But when I take a step back and look at what the impact of this is for the global economy, unfortunately, it's also bad news, because the reason that Europe has been buying refined products from Russia, and the reason that it's still buying them right now because the ban isn't in place as of today, is that it's the cheapest form in the market. That's why they want to buy it, because it's the lowest cost. So by walking away from these deals through the EU ban and the price cap, that means that they will have to pay more in the international markets. So all of the countries of Europe will be seeing a price increase for the cost of their wholesale gasoline and diesel, and that's going to put more pressure on their economies. It's likely to push up inflation, because fuel costs are one of the biggest drivers for inflation, and we've seen that over the last 12 months. It has been coming down, but for a lot of European countries, we may see inflation staying high over the next few months as they switch into new suppliers and have to pay higher prices in the international markets. So overall, unfortunately, it's bad news for Russia, and it's bad news for the rest of us as well. So as always, I'll keep you posted on any further news and developments on this or any other story. If you've liked what I've said today, then please give me a thumbs up, and thank you for watching this video all the way through to the end.